Today, I'm rocking the suburbs.
Down in the tunnels, during cold days, the grounds crew lights a garbage can and sings a cappella down underneath Tiger Stadium.
Hey, it's Jim Lenihan. Welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs, a daily music podcast. Patrick Foster is off today, but you will hear from him tomorrow. Now, today is the opening of the Major League Baseball playoffs, and this includes the first appearance in a decade by my beloved Detroit Tigers. In honor of this achievement, I conducted an interview about music and baseball with former Tiger Jim Whalewander, who lives near me in Northern Virginia. Today's episode is part two of my interview with Wales. If you didn't listen to yesterday's part one, go back and do that. If you did listen, you now know that Jim Whalewander was a fan favorite in Detroit in 1987 and was also known for inviting punk band The Dead Milkmen to Tiger Stadium. You'll hear that story today, along with reflections on Whalewander's only career Major League home run and other stories about baseball and music. So now, let's roll the tape and pick up the conversation where we left off from yesterday. Here is Jim Whalewander.
So you mentioned the Dead Milkmen. I mean, that became sort of a little bit of like Tigers lore.
Yes.
What was it about that band specifically?
Nothing. I love their logo.
Okay.
So it was a cow with X-out eyes.
Right.
And I used to wear that shirt underneath my uniform.
Okay.
So when you give interviews, you take your uniform off, toss it in, and then you got the Dead Milkmen as your logo. So I'm doing, I think it was in Seattle again, after I got a couple hits off Langston. Like I hadn't played in forever. And then you go facing a guy like Langston and you get a couple hits. You're like, wow. And so they're interviewing me and then afterwards, I forget the reporter's name. There was a two sentence blurb in like Upper Peninsula somewhere. Jim Whalewander is a Dead Milkmen fan. Mm-hmm. Something like that. And Dead Milkmen have relatives up there. Saw that. Sent it to me. Sent it to the band. They contacted me and invited me to their show in Hamtramck.
Got it.
So that was it. It was a t-shirt to two lines in a newspaper. It hit the Dead Milkmen relative. So,
yeah, then I should. But that's interesting because, again, this is way before things like social media and stuff like that, where, you know, that's what you just told me is like sort of the idea of something going viral in 1987, yes. Right? Right.
Yeah.
So they reached out to you.
They reached out to me.
Okay. Said,
we're coming to Hamtramck. Would you like to go?
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I asked around the locker room, does anybody want to go with me? No one went. No one wanted to go.
This doesn't surprise me.
And so I'm like, where's Hamtramck? And I didn't pull up Google Maps, right? Get the map out. Where am I going?
Right.
And, you know, just a dive bar out and
park. Which is pretty much what Hamtramck was, at least back then. Bunch of dive bars, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's surrounded by the city. It's like surrounded by the city of Detroit. Yeah, it's an interesting place.
Yeah. So just went there and then just walked in like I came, like I seriously did not do anything other than just go from Tiger Stadium to there.
Mm-hmm. So you met them then?
Yes, I met them.
And then you invited them to Tiger Stadium?
We hung out. I hung out with them all night.
Okay.
And see, the beauty of being someone who doesn't take drugs, doesn't drink a lot, that I could stay out till 4 a.m., get up at 9 o'clock and it's not a big deal.
Right. You're young and
And so I hung out with them all night and I hardly ever played. So right. I'm not too worried about that.
Right.
And so then I come back and, you know, we've got a day game the next day and they show up. And I didn't think they were going to show up. So I show them around. I stopped. I literally did not, like, you have the practice before the game, you mm-hmm. stretch, and then you do the throwing, and then you do the, you take batting practice mm-hmm. and ground balls. I didn't do any of that. I was showing them all around. Like, I showed them down in the tunnels in Tiger Stadium. Like, there are, down in the tunnels, during cold days, the grounds crew lights a garbage can and sings a cappella down underneath Tiger Stadium. And I used to sing on the boardwalk with these guys. And I was like telling the dead milkman, this is what we do, right?
Yeah.
And so then they're like, this is really cool. And then they liked the drinking fountain in the dugout the best. That was the best thing ever. That they're like, check out how cold this water is. And they're all taking turns at how cold the water is. So, and then, and so I'm just playing host at a party. And then Lou Whitaker walks past me with these guys, says, Jim, you're playing. I hurt my back. Walked down. I'm like, really? He walks past, gets in his car and leaves. And I'm like, guys, I think I got to let you go.
Right. That's right.
And so then I thanked him. I got Sparky to take a picture with him. And then.
Which is so cool, by the way.
And then.
Yeah.
And then just went and played the game.
Right. And they, as I read, they weren't able to stick around and watch the game itself, yeah. I don't think.
No.
Right.
But my parents were there, which was weird because they never told me.
Your parents didn't tell you they were
there.
They
didn't tell me they were there. Until I saw some pictures that they had. It's like, you guys were there. Yeah. We didn't want to make you nervous.
Interesting. Well, that was your home run game, right?
Yes.
Was it a 3-2 pitch?
I can't remember. I might have gone off script and just swung into two balls, one strike, one. I'll have to check. I know it was off Willie Frazier because I eventually played with him with the Angels. And never let him forget.
Yeah, so that's your one major league career home
run, I had run, another right? home run.
Okay.
It was in Kansas City, and I was batting right-handed, so I can't even remember the pitcher. It was left-handed. And if they had instant replay, it would have been a home run because the guy was sitting right on the foul pole, reached around, caught it, and pulled it back, and the umpire called it foul.
Oh, interesting.
So I've got one in an asterisk.
That's even better.
Yes.
I got for the legend, right? You were asked in an interview after that that game with the home run. Did the dead milkman give you inspiration? You said they gave me a t-shirt. Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good line.
And my other good line, which was off the cuff, was, what are you going to do with the ball? I'm going to put it in my glove box of the car, and when it fills up, I'll get a new car, which means I'd be playing more and doing better things, but that didn't quite work out the way I had planned.
So, you know, again, you mentioned that being an athlete mm-hmm. and playing for a few years, everything is sort of incremental,
yes.
right? To the fans, it may seem like, oh, this overnight sensation, this guy, you know, but mm-hmm. you were just grinding it out, right?
Yes.
So, but when you hit a home run in a major league game, you got to feel something.
Yes.
That, right?
Yes, almost. It's almost euphoria. You hardly feel anything anymore. Surprisingly, hitting home runs in the major leagues is a lot easier than hitting home runs in the minor leagues. The stadiums are enclosed, and you learn that the aerodynamics pulls the ball.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Pulls the ball, as opposed to if you're playing in a place where the wind's blowing in a minor league place where there's no outside bleachers. You're not. So
right.
So that's why you'll see a lot of players hit a lot more home runs in the major leagues than the minor leagues.
Well, that's interesting too, because old Tiger Stadium, you know, was built all the way around.
Yes.
It was big. It was cavernous.
You yes.
know, not like even today the major league stadiums. A lot of them don't have that many seats in the outfield anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so. You had to know the aerodynamics. You had to know the aerodynamics because the wind blew differently. underneath and above the stadium.
Yeah, interesting.
But I've been practicing, you know, I've been practicing hitting home runs the whole time, because this was the start of the home runs are the only thing that means anything time in baseball. And so every day in back bang practice, I'm trying to hit home runs, just trying all the time, and eventually ran into one. But like one of my roommates was Billy Bean, the other one. They were both roommates of mine, the Moneyball guy.
Yep, yep.
And when I was going to graduate school, I applied at Berkeley, and so I went up and talked to him. Met him in the office, talked to him. He's like, hey, before you came in, I was looking at your stats, and you know what? We would have really wanted you.
Right.
And I was like, you want me to cry? You want me to cry here? Can't we just go have lunch and talk about the stupid old times or something? But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in the analytics era and sort of the post-steroids, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, yes, suddenly players like you became more valued again. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is interesting, because this Tigers team, I don't know how much you watch baseball today.
I don't have a whole lot of time to, but...
Right. You're pretty busy. But this Tiger team is that kind of scrappy team, you know. They don't have a bunch of sluggers or anything like that. They're the, you know, get on base and make runs happen mm-hmm. kind of team, you know. So it's exciting. To me, as a fan, that's more exciting to watch, I think. But.
I think, too, because the home run, a three-run home run when you're losing 8-1 makes it 8-4. It looks good on his stats, but it doesn't do anything for the game. I always liked... I could getting walks, getting on base, just pushing the other team to try and execute, catch and throw with some stress on you. Not catching and throw, take two hop, but if I hit a group two hops to shortstop, he better catch it and throw it, or else I'm going to be safe. So you're putting that stress on the fielders and on the pitchers and catchers when you're on base. That is not there for just your home run guy.
Right, right. Yeah, interesting.
And I always, every minor league team I played on, I always led the team in getting hit by pitches. And that's because the other teams got tired of me and just went and threw balls at me.
Is that right?
Yes.
So after the Tigers, you kicked around for a little bit.
Yes.
Back, mostly back in the minors, but got a couple of call-ups with the Yankees and the Angels.
Yes.
But... At that point, were you thinking, I got to figure out what I'm going to do after baseball?
No.
Okay.
I was in a panic thinking, oh, my God, I have no idea what I'm going to do after baseball. And I'm going to try and play this as long as I can. And so I probably played, you know, in hindsight, played for too many years just because I was afraid and I had no idea what I was going to do. It was like skydiving at night with sunglasses on. You were falling and you didn't know where you were going to land.
Hmm. So then what happened?
I took a couple aptitude tests and said I was good at math. I reapplied to school. I went and graduated magna cum laude in economics from Arizona State. I worked and then went to UCLA to get an MBA. And the UCLA MBA thing was, do you remember there's a baseball player, Kevin Moss?
Mm-hmm.
He was with the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was friends and used to golf a lot with his brother, Jason Moss, who also played with the Yankees. And one day, playing in Columbus, Jason just didn't show up after All-Star break. Like, where'd he go? Jason went to business school.
Hmm.
And so then I started looking into that and talked to Jason about it. And he says, here's what you need to do. Go to UCLA, talk to these people. And we're both UCLA grads now.
Hmm. Nice.
And he worked. He's a Goldman Sachs guy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shazam.
Getting the MBA and such, that led you into what, the hospitality industry?
No, I started in technology.
Okay.
I worked at Intel.
Okay.
The microchip.
Yep.
I was in charge of all chemicals and gases that they make microchips throughout the world. And then I got recruited away from being at Intel to a company in Phoenix, Arizona called Gamut Interactive that was funded by Rupert Murdoch. And it was a consumer products company, technology, and it was an interactive television company. So you take your cell phone, point it at the TV when an ad is on, and you can get coupons, you could all of that. And so we were on the forefront of that. That was in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And then, but that imploded. And then I was stuck in Phoenix without a job. And I started looking around, and Houston's Restaurants headquarters was in Phoenix. And I started interviewing with them, and I became the director of finance, head of risk management. And I did that for 8 years.
Interesting. Okay.
So that got me into the hospitality industry.
Got it. Okay. So what led you to Northern Virginia?
I work at the Pentagon. I got recruited to be... So my wife got tired of me jumping jobs, and her brother works at Pax River for the Navy. And she took my resume, and because I have so much calculus and so much advanced math, I got forwarded to the group Cost and Economics that I work with a bunch of economic PhDs right now for the Secretary of the Air Force.
Wow. Interesting.
Yes.
How long have you been
out here? I'm a real life Mo Berg.
How long have you been out here?
Since 2011.
Oh, okay.
So 14 years, 13 years.
So you work at the Pentagon.
Yes.
And you also co-own this restaurant with your son.
My son, yes.
And how did this come to be?
My son was one of the best hockey players in North America when he was 15.
Did you have any hockey experience?
I played outside hockey. I grew up in Chicago, so I played hockey outside.
Yeah.
And I was a goalie. And I used my baseball glove to catch.
That's great.
And if there was a breakaway, I'd throw the stick down and just go to catch it.
Yeah.
And what goalie throws his stick away?
Right. You're on there. You're a ball player on the ice, right? Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So your son.
My son played. Real good hockey player. He was playing some junior hockey up in around Philadelphia this year, and he got 4 concussions in December.
Oh.
He could not walk a straight line.
Oh.
He. They asked him to walk this line and spell the word Monday,
mm-hmm.
and he collapsed.
Mm.
His brain could not do 2 things at once. And so he did not want to go to college. Well, and so then we basically took a Venn diagram and said, what do we know? What do we know about? Baseball was one of those in that Venn diagram of circle. What is available we could do, and what can we afford? We took those 3 things, and this restaurant was for sale. It had a wood stove. Houston's cooks on wood. Houston's one of the best run restaurants in the world. And I said, I know what we can do with that.
Okay.
And so that's how it started. And then we bought it in January of this year, and we've been running it for, was it September?
Okay.
8 months now.
So the restaurant, as I mentioned, is called Chard. It's here in Herndon, Virginia. For any listeners who are in the area, come stop by Chard.
Yes.
The
World Gate Center.
Pardon me?
The World Gate Center by the big Marriott.
In the World Gate Center. Yep, absolutely. So you're very busy because you're working at the Pentagon by day, and then you work here weekends and evenings?
I'll stop by in the evening, yeah. But I give my son the weekends off, so I work here the weekends.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. I'm sure he appreciates that. But but how is that for you? I mean, you're just working all the time, right?
Yes, it is. It is really fun.
Okay.
Because when you're with the Pentagon, you're using a certain part of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Very analytical. You come here, this is a completely different part of your brain. So it's not like, oh, I'm so exhausted. It's like, oh, part of the analytical brain's tired, but the other part gets to meet people. I get to talk to people. I hand out baseball cards to kids, all sorts of stuff. That it's fun to meet all these people that come in, and we just share a common love of that wood grill, because that wood grill really makes all the food fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
And so if you've never been here, it really is worth stopping by.
Okay.
Because we are the opposite of what a chain restaurant is.
Yeah, I can tell. So do people here know of your baseball background?
No.
No?
Some people do, but not that much.
Okay.
One guy came in, and my son's wearing a Toledo Mud Hen hat. He's like, hey, that looks like an old Mud Hen hat. He's like, sure is. My dad played there.
Yeah, nice.
You know, so, you know, the Yankee hats or the Tiger hats, they come on. Angel hats, they'll come on.
Yeah. You mentioned before we start recording that you get a lot of fan mail.
Yes. An enormous amount of fan mail.
Enormous amount. How do you quantify enormous? What is it like?
One a day.
Okay.
One a day. I counted over 400 a year.
And is it 400 cards? Literally like physical mail, or are we talking like emails?
No, it's physical mail.
Wow.
I have some in my bag. I could show you. But bag's over there.
Okay. No, that's fine.
It's just regular mails, self-addressed stamped envelopes of baseball cards. And I attributed some of it to their art cards. Like I've created my own cards of impressionist versions of my cards.
Okay.
And so when people send me cards, I send one of mine back. And so these people enjoy the getting something other than just a signed baseball card or a Bible verse. You know, this is my actual artwork that I'm sharing with everybody.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah. And it used to be one or two. It got a little, like, there's a lot of different versions of my cards now I've made out there. And other people, and some fans make versions and send them to me.
Okay. So, I'm sure.
So they're sharing their art with me.
Yeah.
And some of them are a lot better than I am.
I have at least two friends who have Jim Wailwander autographed baseball cards in their collections. Oh. So, yes. Yeah. So,
like I tell the kids, it's my magic trick. I give them a baseball card and they're like, you know what that's worth? It's worth a dollar. If I sign it, it's worth 20. Here you go.
There you go. Yeah.
But if I keep doing that, I think the price is going to drop.
Well, you're the math guy.
Yeah, I know the price is going to drop. I know supply and demand.
Do you follow baseball much anymore?
A little bit. I'll start to pick up around the playoffs. I find like my style of game was much more geared towards playoff baseball than it is during the regular season.
Yeah.
When one run means a lot, you want to put me on first base. In the season, when you're three games up or three games back and one run doesn't mean much, you know, I'm
right.
So that's one of the negatives of these long seasons is that
right.
Some players that can be very beneficial in the playoffs are never seen.
So you obviously have a real connection with Tigers fans.
Yes.
So
well, they're fans from all over the world.
But I mean, I assume that's your team, right?
Yeah. If I go in the Hall of Fame, I'll be as a Tiger.
There you go. Well, speaking of which, I did read this that you have a record.
I thought I did. I'm very close to being. I'm one of the best, like runs per hits.
Right.
That statistic.
That's at least what your Wikipedia page says, is that you hold the record for the highest ratio of runs scored to hits, right?
Yes, and it has to be, you know, they qualify it. Like if you get you know, the certain amount of games played and a certain amount of at bats you have to have. Because one guy who comes in, scores a run and never plays again,
right?
You know, he's got, you know, the infinity symbol. But yeah, it's qualified by that, but yes.
So 24 runs scored 13 hits is what I saw. So that's because of pinch running.
It's because of pinch running, yes. And it's also because I could get around the bases.
Yeah, right. Now, getting back to music, what are your music interests today?
Like, my son and I used to travel all around for hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Chief Keef, Kanye, my Chicago boys. I'll have a shout out to Omerta.J. Omerta.J is one of our workers here.
Okay.
Who does rapping on the side.
Okay.
He's really good. Omerta.j.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
And it's Julio. But yeah. So I'll go anything from like, I like, say, Sunday morning, the slowly sliding in with Jack Johnson in the morning. My son likes to play a lot of the harder stuff, but, you know, I like it all.
Interesting. So you got, you get a lot through him.
Yes. Now.
Yeah.
Yes, certainly do. And a lot through my workers.
Do you have a record collection?
I do.
Vinyl records, CDs?
Vinyls. What?
Yeah, yeah.
Vinyls. It's my early... I was a huge Bob Dylan fan for a while.
Okay.
He's kind of worn out his welcome in my brain, but for a long time, he was always my go-to. So, that is... the biggest thing that, you know, you're a punk rocker and you like Bob Dylan. I don't see the disconnect there.
No, I don't see it. Either.
Yeah. See, it's one of the originals.
And it's funny.
He's one of the original rappers.
Besides the Dead Milkmen, and you mentioned Bob Dylan, I mean, are there any other go-tos for you in terms of like what you really like to listen to?
It's almost a flavor of the month club.
Yeah.
Like I've gone through Electric Light Orchestra phases.
Yeah.
And then the Steely Dan phase, you know, right now I'm in the Antonin Dvorak phase.
Hmm.
So where I'll land next as I hop through this, it's almost an infinite world of music choices.
Right. It's very interesting. Yeah.
Especially with Amazon Music.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. Well,
where can we go from here?
One last thing I want to ask, again, going back to your Wikipedia page. Oh, first off, somebody wrote a song about you.
Yes.
Right.
Jim? There's actually been a couple of them.
Okay. Yeah. So there's Jim Whale Wander Blues.
Yes.
Right? And what's another one?
I remember there being two. They're in cassette tapes. I could probably find it. Because I've got just...
What is that like, right? People are writing songs about you.
It's weird. It's really weird. Another weird thing is, like, at the height of my Dead Milkmen stuff,
mm-hmm.
I get a phone call. And it's, when I say phone call, remember, I didn't have a phone. The phone call in the locker room of Tiger Stadium.
Okay.
There was, around the corner, there was a phone that the trainer used. And so this rings, guy answers it, he wants to talk to me. And it's this band. And they said, we sent you a sample tape. We'd like you to dump the Dead Milkmen and come work with us. And I'm like, dude, you have no idea. And I was like, I'd really like to. I like your music. Sounds really good. But, you know, I'm having trouble being a baseball player in this promoter thing. I don't know if I could handle it.
Right.
And so I turn them down. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No kidding.
Right. Isn't that funny?
Wow. Yes, that's very funny. So do you wish you'd been on that Red Hot Chili Peppers train at all?
I don't know. I think about it. I think about it. Wow, that would have been a weird ride.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing I want to mention here also on the Wikipedia page, it says you once played golf in combat boots.
Yes.
So what was that?
Like I told you, my dad was in the military.
Yeah.
And there was military stuff around their house all the time. And shoot, I work in there now. But I had Vietnam jungle boots.
Mm-hmm.
If you step in water, they have like little, the water squirts out the sides. And so, although I like to brag about my golf prowess, it wasn't that good. And I spent a lot of time walking through the jungles around the looking for my golf ball. So wearing those boots was just a logical thing to do. People.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. If you're in the weeds all the time, you may as well wear those boots.
Right, right, right. But it just adds to the Jim Whale Wander legend, I guess.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for hanging out with me today, Jim.
No problem. Thanks for stopping by.
This has been a real delight. So, and go Tigers, I guess we have to say.
Yes, we'll be watching now.
All right. Thanks very much.
Big, big thanks to Jim Whalewander for sitting down with me to talk baseball and music. That was a great deal of fun. All right, now it's time to pack up these episodes and ship them off to the National Archives. But before we do that, we will play out with a fan favorite Dead Milkmen song, of course. This is Bitchin' Camaro. On behalf of Patrick Foster, on behalf of Shadow, thank you very much for listening. Please tell your friends about Rockin' the Suburbs and be sure to cheer on the Tigers tonight and throughout the playoffs. I'm Jim Lenihan, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
The important thing here is that we get to the part where you ask me how I'm going to get down to the shore.
Oh, how you getting down to the shore?
Funny you should ask. I've got a car now.
Oh, wow. How'd you get a car?
Oh, my folks drove it up here from the Bahamas.
You're kidding.
It must be the Bahamas or islands. Okay, the important thing here is that you asked me what kind of car it is.
What kind of car do you got?
I've got a bitchin' Camaro.
Bitchin' Camaro, bitchin' Camaro. I ran over my neighbor. Bitchin' Camaro, bitchin' Camaro. Now I'm in all the papers. My folks bought me a bitchin' Camaro with no insurance to match. So if I happen to run you down, please don't leave a scratch. I ran over some old lady one night at the county fair, and I didn't get arrested because my dad's a mayor. Bitchin' Camaro, bitchin' Camaro, donuts on your lawn. Bitchin' Camaro, bitchin' Camaro, Tony, Orlando, and Dawn. When I drive past the kids, they all spit and cuss, cause I've got a bitchin' Camaro and they have to ride the bus. So you better get out of my way when I come through your yard, cause I've got a bitchin' Camaro and an Exxon credit card. Bitchin' Camaro, bitchin' Camaro, hey man, where you headed? Bitchin' Camaro, bitchin' Camaro, I'm drunk on unleaded.
Do you keep in touch with the Dead Milkmen at all? Do you guys have a connection in any way over the years?
No, not really. You know, I've kind of gone on this other path.
Yeah, right.
Because they're still in the entertainment world. And yeah. I guess this is a hospitality, but the entertainment, I've kind of shied away from that.